Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
God's knowledge never increases nor decreases. His knowledge is all-encompassing. Nothing at all lies outside the scope of the knowledge of God. Nothing can possibly happen that God doesn't know about. He is infinite in His knowledge. He is omniscient. He has perfect knowledge of everything because God knows everything about everything.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Where do you turn when you need guidance or when you're struggling to find an answer? Perhaps a mentor, a parent, or a wise friend. Today, Pastor John Monroe reminds us that we have access to the one who knows everything as he continues our series, What Would You Ask God? Now here's Pastor John Monroe with the start of today's lesson on the omniscience of God.
Have you ever met a know-all? Someone who gives the impression that they know everything? Today we're continuing our series on God. We've been asking and answering a number of questions about God. Today our question is, does God know everything? Through the Holy Scriptures, I'm seeking to guide you in understanding the true God so that you will know Him, love Him, and trust Him with all of your heart. Today we're thinking of God's omniscience, that is, that God knows everything about everything. Those who know God through our Lord Jesus Christ have a security, as our lives are in the hands of this God who knows everything about everything. Isn't this encouraging? So join me as we think of today's questions and the marvelous answer.
I was reminded of the story of the Scottish atheist. He was spending a quiet day fishing when suddenly his boat was attacked by the Loch Ness Monster. And in one easy flip, the monster tossed the Scottish atheist and his boat high into the air. Then the monster opened its mouth, getting ready to swallow the Scotsman and his boat. Flying through midair, the man cried out, "Dear God, please help me." At once the ferocious Loch Ness Monster froze in place, and the atheist hung in midair, and a booming voice came down from the clouds. "I thought you didn't believe in me." "Give me a break," the atheist pleaded. "Until a few moments ago, I didn't even believe in the Loch Ness Monster." The goal of this series is not just to help us to believe in the existence of God. I trust we do believe that God exists, but to know and to love and to trust in the living God. One day, each one of us, the Bible says, will stand before God. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Our eternal life, your eternal life and mine, depends on knowing the true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, whom the Father sends into the world to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This morning we continue our series, Questions I'd Like to Ask God. Our question and our subject this morning is an intriguing one. It is, does God know everything? Let me ask you to open your Bibles, first of all, to Job chapter 37. And as you're finding your way there, let me reread to you 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. David to his son Solomon, "You, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts." Do you get that? The Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. Now Job chapter 37, the book of Job just before Psalms 37, verse 16. "Do you know about the layers of the thick cloud, the wonders of one perfect in knowledge?" A reference to God who knows everything. The wonders of the one who is perfect in knowledge. Over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 147, towards the end of the Psalter, Psalm 147, a psalm of praise, as we get at the end of the Psalter, beginning and ending with hallelujah, praise the Lord, Why would we praise the Lord? Here's one reason. Psalm 147, verse 4. God counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. In the NIV, it says his understanding is without limit. His understanding is infinite. Over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, that wonderful chapter that we love in this prophecy. Isaiah, about the middle of your Bible, chapter 40, a couple of verses 13 and 14, a series of rhetorical questions demanding the answer, no one. What are the questions? Isaiah 40, verse 30. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding? Is there anyone who gives counsel to God? Is there anyone who helps God in his understanding of things? Is there anyone who gives God advice, is the point of the questions? The answer is absolutely not. God's knowledge is infinite. So we want to learn, first of all, that God knows everything. In fact, God knows everything about everything. 2 weeks ago, we considered the eternality and the infinity of God. And when we said that God is infinite, we are saying that God has no limits. We are finite beings. We are all very limited, but God has no limits. And when we say that God is infinite as to his knowledge, we are saying that God's knowledge is so great, is so vast, that it is without limit. He is, to use the technical word, he is omniscient. One of the attributes of God is his omniscience. God is omniscient, that is, God knows everything. God has perfect and eternal knowledge of all things, whether they be actual or possible, past, present, or future. Simply put, God knows everything about everything. That is, God never has to learn anything about anything, as he knows everything about everything eternally. We have to learn, don't we? We learn, and sometimes it's very hard. We learn bit by bit. We learn successively, but God's knowledge is simultaneous. God never has to learn anything. No one had to teach God, because he is omniscient. He knows everything in the past, present, and future, and he knows it all instantaneously. God knows the results of every game. God knows the names of everyone here today. As we read from Psalm 147, God not only knows the number of the stars, and there are billions of them, he gives names to all of them. He knows all of the names of the billions of stars. And because God is immutable, that is, God doesn't change, God's knowledge never varies. God's knowledge never increases nor decreases. His knowledge is all-encompassing. Nothing at all lies outside the scope of the knowledge of God. Nothing can possibly happen that God doesn't know about. He is infinite in his knowledge. He is omniscient. He has perfect knowledge of everything, because God knows everything about everything. Now let me ask you to turn to Psalm 139, which is the great classic passage on some of the attributes of God, including his omniscience. And we're going to look very briefly at the first 6 verses. I want you to understand, as we begin to read Psalm 139, that we are the objects of God's complete knowledge. I want you to take this very personally. You are the object of God's complete knowledge. Here is David in this wonderful psalm. Psalm 139, then, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You did know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You do understand my thought from afar. You do scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you do know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. What's the basic point of these verses? The basic point is a very simple one, but a very profound one, and one that we need to understand, that God knows David thoroughly. He knows David thoroughly. Verse 1, you have searched me and known me. God has carried out an investigation on David, and everything about David is known to him. Verse 2, he knows David's every action, from the time he gets up in the morning to the time he goes to bed. You've known me when I sit down and when I rise up. You do understand my thoughts from afar. He knows every thought that David has. He investigates and he evaluates David's personal life in great detail. Verse 3, you do scrutinize, or the word is to winnow. You do scrutinize, you analyze my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. It's not just that God knows roughly what David is doing. It's not that he just knows David exists. It's not just that he knows David's name, although that's wonderful. It's more than that. He knows David inside out. He is intimately acquainted with all of David's life. No aspect of David's life is excluded from God's knowledge. Even before David articulates a word, verse 4, God knows what he will say. Even before there's a word in my tongue, verse 4, behold, O Lord, you know it all. David's just getting ready to speak, and he's framing the sentence in his mind. God already knows it. He's able to read his thoughts. Why? Because David's thoughts, his speech, his actions, and his attitudes are all known to God. And from David's perspective, verse 5, this complete knowledge which God has of him is a bit confining and limited. I think that's what David is saying here in verse 5. You have enclosed me, that's enclosed me with your knowledge, behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Interesting. David is enclosed, hemmed in, when he thinks of the knowledge of God. He can't prevail over it. He can't get away from it. He's in the cup of God's hand. God's knowledge is all around him. He cannot get away from this complete knowledge of God. And as David reflects on that, as we would reflect on it, it's a bit restricting, isn't it? It's a bit limiting of our own independence to think that God knows everything about us. That kind of makes us feel a bit uncomfortable, doesn't it? You had the experience, at least I had, many times when I was a teenager. I would be out with my friends and get home a little late, and invariably we went through this kind of routine in my home. Hopefully some of my other brothers were acting up, so I didn't get the attention. But if my parents were waiting, the conversation would go something like this: John, where were you? Oh, I was out. Yeah, we know you're out, but where were you? Oh, I was out and about. Who are you with? Oh, some friends of mine. What were you doing? Oh, just different things. I mean, what was the problem? It wasn't necessarily that I was doing anything wrong. It's just that I didn't want my parents to know everything that I was doing. Full knowledge of us by anyone, even by those who are close to us, makes us feel a bit uncomfortable, doesn't it? You don't want everyone to know everything about you. People can ask you a question, and it's not that you're covering up, it's not that you've done something wrong, but you sometimes think and perhaps even say, well, is that really any of your business? You want to protect yourself. And David is saying, when I think of God's knowledge, it's all around me, I can't get over it, I'm kind of hemmed in, I'm in the cup of God's hand. But when David, verse 6, begins to reflect on God's knowledge of all of his life, he begins to understand that the knowledge of God is something incredible. Such knowledge, verse 6, is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain to it. It's absolutely incredible, isn't it? It's beyond his control. Do you understand that your life, like David's, is all under God's penetrating knowledge? That God's knowledge is so comprehensive, it's so detailed, it's so penetrating that He knows everything about you. You can't get away from it. A man wearing sunglasses tried to rob the cash register of a pharmacy, and when the robber demanded the money, the employee took action and thwarted the robbery. What did he do? Well, when the robber was asking for money, the pharmacist recognized his voice and called him by name and asked if the robbery was a joke. And on hearing the mention of his own name, the robber got such a surprise that he quickly ran out of the store and jumped on a passing bus. True story. Knowledge of the robber's name prevented the crime. God knows your name. Today, we may not know it, but God knows your name. Not only does He know your name, He knows your address. He knows your history. He knows your parents. He knows your friends. He knows your social security number. He knows what you reported in your last IRS form or what you didn't report. He knows everything about your identity. As far as God is concerned, you have no secrets. There is nothing about you that God doesn't know. God knows everything about you, and God knows everything about John Monroe, because God knows everything about everything. And God's knowledge is not only vast, He gives names to the billions of the stars. Not only does God's knowledge, is it so vast that it's mind-blowing, God's knowledge goes to the tiniest detail about you. In fact, God knows more about you than you know yourself. You've forgotten certain things about yourself. You've never yet discovered certain things about you, but God knows. God knows things about you which others may think as trivial or insignificant or inconsequential and unimportant. For example, God knows the total number of hairs on our heads. You say that's ridiculous. No, it's not. Turn to Matthew chapter 10 and see what our Lord Jesus said on this subject. Matthew chapter 10, the first book in the New Testament, the first gospel, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. The teaching by our Lord, this is what He says. Matthew 10, 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Sparrows, the cheapest bird of the time. So cheap you can get two of them for a penny. And yet not one of them, even though it's the cheapest bird there is, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Just think of that. Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. How wonderful that all of the hairs of our head are numbered by God. God knows that. Now, I love my wife dearly. I'm very interested in the details of her life, or at least most of them. I think I am. But my interest in my wife and my love for my wife do not extend, this may shock some of you, but do not extend to counting the hairs of her head. I have never sat down, and I don't intend to sit down and count how many hairs are on my wife's head. I'm not that interested in her. I have to admit it. I have no idea how many hairs are on her head. Now, admittedly, she's got a better idea of how many I have on my head, but that's another story. But God knows. Isn't that amazing? That God's interest in you and God's knowledge of you is so detailed that what would be unimportant to even your closest friend or closest relative is known by God. And Jesus says this amazing statement, although you can buy two sparrows just for a cent, they're so abundant, yet there's not one of them that will fall to the ground apart from your Father. That God watches over and God knows the fall of every sparrow. It is true. His eye is on the sparrow because God's eye is on everything. And He knows everything about you. And He knows everything about me because He knows everything about everything. We have learned from these scriptures that God knows everything. Now, what are you going to do with that? You say, that's amazing, isn't it? What are some responses as we reflect on this great truth of God's omniscience? We wonder at it. Yes, it should promote great worship and praise and adoration and love and service. But let me suggest to you three particular responses for you to reflect on now and during this week. If it's true that God is omniscient, if it's true that God knows everything about everything, here is the first response. Response number one, spend time with God. Doesn't that make sense? If God is a being who knows everything about everything, I think it's good advice that we would spend time with God. A long time ago, I received very good advice. I've heard it more than once, but it's always appropriate, and that is, I've been told to spend time with wise people, to spend time with mature people, to spend time with godly people, to spend time with smart people. When I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary, one of our professors, Howard Hendricks, told us, he says, choose your friends wisely. Now that's advice that we give not only to children and teens, it's good advice for all of us. Why should we choose our friends wisely? Well, we, most of us, begin to get like the people we spend time with. If we spend time with foolish people, we are much more likely to do foolish things. If we spend time with immoral people, we shouldn't be surprised if sooner or later we fall into immorality. Conversely, if we spend time with wise people and godly people, we are much more likely to be wise and godly. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, bad company corrupts good morals. You may have good morals, but if you spend time in bad company, don't be surprised when your good morals degenerate into poor morals. Now, if it's true that we want to, as I think most of us would want to spend time around wise people, smart people from whom we can learn, who model to us these wonderful virtues, can you imagine spending time with someone who knows everything about everything? Now, all of us have met people who think they know everything about everything, give that impression, but they don't, of course. But there is one being, and only one unique being in the whole universe who does know everything about everything, and that, of course, is God. Therefore, spend time with God.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled, Does God Know Everything? As a special bonus to go along with our current series called What Would You Ask God?, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the unique listening guide John put together for this study. This printable workbook has a section for each of our daily lessons and is packed with helpful notes, key takeaways, and follow-up questions to guide you and encourage you to reach a verdict of your own on these essential topics. Download the PDF or request a mailed copy of this free resource today when you visit theverdict.org. And while you're there, you'll also want to sign up for our monthly email list to get the latest ministry updates from John. And if The Verdict Ministry has made a positive impact in your life, we encourage you to consider making your own impact in the lives of other listeners by helping us cover the cost to distribute these biblical messages. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of fellow believers like you who share our passion for the gospel. You can send your one-time donation of any amount today by going to theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out The Verdict Podcast. In addition to these daily lessons, John has launched a weekly podcast called Avizandum. Every Tuesday, he shares his personal thoughts on relevant events and biblical topics and gives them the careful consideration that Scottish law calls Avizandum. So check out The Verdict Podcast today. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? I'm sure you agree that compared with God, our knowledge is microscopic. But our gracious God has revealed so much of His knowledge to us. This is why we're committed to reading and understanding and obeying the Word of God. It is His revelation. He has chosen to give us some of His knowledge in the Holy Scriptures so that we will be able to worship God and trust Him. Don't forget to join me next time as we continue to think that God knows everything about everything.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.